It's bigger on the inside.
Is it?
I haven't noticed.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Hello everybody, Nicklin here, and welcome to Bigger on the Inside, episode number 31. As always, I'm Joey Ringo.
Hello everybody.
And we are going to talk about, finally, the last two episodes of Series 11. But before...
Just checking.
Yeah?
Has every episode been a good slash decent and then a terrible? Is that
yes, actually the... That has been the consistent.
Wow. It's actually been consistent. Okay, sorry.
I think the only one that really kind of doesn't do that is the last one we did, which was Kablam and the Witchfinders.
Yeah, I guess.
Kablam was definitely the better of the two, but, like, I didn't actively dislike the Witchfinders.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, but yeah, apart from that, it's basically consistent of a pretty decent one and then a groan-worthy one.
And it does not stop here, guys, because we have a pretty good one, a decent one, and a pretty shit one.
Stay tuned for Friday, shit, which is which. But let's be honest, deep down, you kind of already know. All right. Let's wrap up Series 11. Let's go out with a bang, guys. You ready? You ready for this?
I'm not ready for this.
Neither am I. Oh, let's just do it. Episode 9, It Takes You Away. General thoughts.
First half, like a 5 or 6 out of 10. Second half, like a 7 to 8 out of 10. Yeah, that's my thoughts.
It really is a tale of two halves, isn't it? Like,
because I think with an episode like this, when you're rewatching it especially, the setup feels very dragged on. It feels sort of out of place to what the episode eventually will be. But I found myself sort of like trudging along to it. Whereas when we finally got to the sci-fi aspect, the good sci-fi aspect, it finally felt like this thrilling climax that maybe should have been the last episode of the series, but I'll get to that later. But yeah, you're right. It really felt like two different things were going on, which is what a lot of episodes have done so far, which is a shame. What do you think, Nick?
I thought it was perfectly fine.
So many episodes are just fine. Or worse, but I hate how fine is some of the best this season.
I'm pretty sure I gave it a 6, and I think I stand by that. It's a 6. It doesn't do anything, or it tries to do some stuff, but doesn't really go into it enough, because it's not really given the time to really develop into something interesting. I think that's a big problem with this series. Everything is just surface level. Everything is just...
I wonder, do you think this... Obviously, this isn't the reason because of the surface level, but do you think this season would have benefited from some two-parters?
Oh, gee, absolutely. I think I've said that in the past three episodes that this should have been a two-parter.
But, like, I wonder if it's a case of just poor direction of writing. Like, I wonder if... This episode, if it was the series final, like I had hoped, if it could have been one episode, but with the other episodes sort of having this sort of character arc going on, if everything in this episode could have happened in one in just a single part, I think it could have, but obviously potential was wasted everywhere else. But I don't know if I would have liked the double part, two part for this one, honestly, because I feel like it just would have lost some traction or some direction. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really confused with this episode because I don't know how much I love it. Should we go into
and discussion? You just rewatched it like 2 hours ago.
I did. I watched it this morning as we're speaking. I'm still confused on it. Most of my negatives are like, I wish, not this is bad. So, damn you, Doctor Who. Damn you. Damn you, season 11.
See, I was starting to, because I mentioned this, I'm briefly talking about episode 10 for a second, but I was like, I was going to do an entire rewrite about for episode 10.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't have the care to do so. This series just sucks any enjoyment out of you. It just leaves you as like a husk of your former self. Like, you feel unclean. You're like, why did I put myself through here? It seemed like a good idea at the time, but now you're just regretting everything.
It's really interesting to like think of it like this. For the rest of my life on this earth, I am never, ever going to rewatch that episode. Ever. That is the final time in my life that I will watch that episode of Doctor Who. It's just really weird. But yeah, fuck that episode. I'm not watching it ever
again. I'm going to go one better. I am never rewatching Series 11 ever again.
I will gladly watch Kablam again, but that's it.
Yeah, but that's not... And maybe the first really episode. Is it worth it, though?
Worth what? It's just one episode. It's not like...
I guess so. But I mean, like, if you're going to do, like, a rewatch... Like, I would gladly rewatch series 1 to 10, even the bad ones.
I don't usually, I mean, yeah, I guess so.
But series 11, I don't care. It's just nothing. That's what it is. It's just nothing. It's like eating a packet of chips, you know?
Oh, here we go. I like chips.
No, but like you're eating something, but it's not really... You still feel hungry afterwards. Do you get what I mean?
It's a really weird analogy, but yeah, sure.
I was trying to think of like a food that... I got it. Right. It's like when you're dreaming about eating food, and you think that you're full, but then you wake up and now you're hungry again. That's what it's like. It's like eating dream food.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to get.
Doctor Who Series 11 is dream food, everybody. We are done with our discussion.
Yeah, I love it. But yeah, like, there's nothing... It tries to explore ideas, but not really. It tries to have character development, but not really. You know what I mean? It's just nothing. And that's just sad because Jodie and Tosin and Bradley and Mandip, I got there eventually. They deserve better.
They do.
I really hope the Christmas special is infinitely better, but I'm not really excited. I'm going to watch it because I'm a sucker for Doctor Who, but yeah, I'm not excited for I can't say Christmas special, it's the New Year special.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shall we go into this
somewhat? We just actively avoided talking about any sort of thing in this
episode. At least on my end, I'm not going to be talking as much on the discussion of the episodes because I don't want to. To be frank, I just want to like rant a little bit, cry a little bit, and then wrap it up. But we're going to get through this because we are strong individuals. And when there's a will, even though Will's not here, there's a way.
And we're going to do it. We have no will, ergo we have no way.
So I will start us off because why not? This is my favorite location cinematography-esque episode of the season, primarily because I love when people shoot outside, like good outside. So even though it's nothing to do with the episode itself, I must surrender my positive of it looking good. And especially there were some shots that I love in this episode, so whoever did that, gets my positive. Thank you, good sir or madam. I think Norway is a sexy place.
I'm sick of it looks good is a positive now.
Well, what else do you have next?
No, not from your end, just in general. Like,
I know. This is less of the this is like as far as like comparing it to other really bland episodes, I think it looks good. But obviously mentioning camera stuff, well, no shit. But yeah, I see what you mean.
Like it at this point it just feels like a novelty. Like,
I know.
Like, it was really cool in episode one, and then from episode two, it's like, yeah, it still looks good, but it's just a constant. You know, you expect it to look good because of the cameras.
It's just the one I want to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Because I think location-wise, it looked good, and the position of cameras, there you go, Nick. God, it looked good.
I will give them the one really good thing that I liked was when they were in that mirror world, and they did the mirror of the footage. Oh, that was pretty
That was
neat.
Really good. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't much, but I liked the visual thematics there. That was the idea of like a visual thematic mirror world. I liked that. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have much else there. I'm going to speaking of wasn't much, but I liked it. The doctor eating soil to obtain information.
Yes, that is my first point.
I said wasn't much, but I liked it. It was fun, quirky.
It felt like a doctor thing,
yeah.
Which we don't get to see a lot. Oh well.
The doctor eating, like tasting sand.
The doctor knowing stuff for starters. Come on,
yeah.
Chibnall. Make your doctor smart for frickin' hell sake. Ugh.
But why? It's character. We should make the doctor a clueless person who knows absolutely nothing about every single place
like,
she goes.
If she wants to know stuff, that's different. But when she doesn't know how to fly a TARDIS like 8 episodes in, that's when you've lost me, you know?
When she doesn't know how to fly the TARDIS 10 episodes in. Yeah, so, yeah, eating soil. Never thought I'd say that it's a positive for an episode, but there you go. What's your next
the
positive?
The Woolly Rebellion. That's my next positive.
Okay, I like that. It reminds me of the Emu War, the Great Emu War. You heard about this?
Yep.
Yeah, the war where the emus won. Like, I don't know how that happens, but I love it.
Why can't we see these episodes? Damn it! I want to see
the Woolly Rebellion is a much more interesting episode than what we got. Like, I love the idea of it, but it's all
of course they couldn't.
It's all missed potential. Why is this another episode with fucking missed potential? Why do you do this to us? Oh, God's sake. The Woolly Rebellion, so that's your positive?
No. I guess for the 10th time in a row, Graham is the standout this episode. Not only is his character arc Reaper's Reward, but I'll get to that later, but he is the Paddington of the Doctor Who universe because he brings emergency sandwiches. And I love that.
If it was Marmalade, I think he would have died. Let's be honest.
I would have, like, just dropped dead, yeah.
Like,
but
oh my God, marry me. Marry me, Graham.
Are you mocking me?
Yes, of course I'm mocking you.
Okay, fair enough. Carry on. But yeah, Graham just... I think Bradley Walsh's acting was top-notch, especially with the Grey stuff at the end. And I just think he just does what he does again, owns it. And he'll always be my optimistic hope for the show, even if it died in 10th episode. Graham is always there. So, yeah.
I'm going to piggyback off that. I'm going to say one of the best parts of this episode was the Graham dynamic.
Yes. I thought the writing was top-notch. For them,
like,
which is weird,
like seeing Graham face his dead wife after spending this entire series grieving and trying to get over her death.
Yeah.
It was just heartbreaking.
It was
like you could genuinely tell like how big of a toll it took on him. And props to Bradley Walsh,
he owns it.
He made me care.
About series 11, which is a lot.
This series would be infinitely worse if there was no Bradley Walsh in this series. Infinitely worse. Like, he is the redeeming point of like three or four of these episodes, which is terrible, but at least I am glad he's there.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be the burden of one person to make an episode watchable. What is your next positive?
But a lot of my positives have negatives as well. Let's go. Let's find a positive positive. This is me trying to fly one, by the way. I liked Ryan's like issues with Hannah, like Anna, whatever the hell her name was. I sort of liked that we saw some flaw in his character, because for the most part they're just idle and not really having any like thing to say. They're just sort of like there for the ride. But in this episode, Ryan was like, "Oi, your dad's gone." He was right, but you know, it gave him some sort of nuance and some sort of I guess it made him feel like a character, because he had something to, yeah, he wasn't just blindly following the doctor, and actually had some input. And I thought this developed him a bit, which was nice. So yeah, I like that stuff. I think by the end of the episode, when they hugged, I was like, "Oh, you guys went through shit, but you're okay now," and that was a good moment. So yeah, that's a positive for me. Ryan and Anna
I
completely
really do
sassing up
like the
each other.
Ryan. It actually genuinely surprised me how much I enjoyed the Ryan and Hannah dynamic. Like
Yeah.
Ryan got some character development in this episode.
He, because
Did you hear that? Character development.
it's not even explicit. It's just like we know why he's doing this. Obviously, it was a good previous episode, but it isn't just say, you know, "Oh, my dad left me." So, Anna, did you get that? My dad left me. No, he actually, it's more, you know, his actions, his little things he does, and
Like
that's
he
called good
obviously
writing.
has hostility to start off with because the
Yeah.
personal experience. But then they have the conflict, Hannah whacks him in the face
She
with a
freaking
door
slams the
to get a key off him. Yeah, I
head.
mean,
Right?
and he kind of deserved it, kind of, just a little bit. But yeah, the two eventually, they sort out their problems and they hug each other, Character
Yeah.
development. Finally.
Yeah. If this series was a character arc, I would have no issues with it. I say that every single time. But they've shown themselves to be able to develop characters. They just rarely do it. And it angers me a lot. But, you know, what
Speaking
can you
of
do, right?
character development, I'm going to talk about Graham and Ryan.
Yes, you are. Because of that moment.
The granddad moment.
The granddad moment.
It finally happened, and it was great.
Could you imagine if this was the final moment of the entire series? If after 10 episodes of 10 decent to great episodes where they all developed and there was no threat, it was just like character arcs. If this was it, the final resolution, how fucking good would that be? I would love that. It's still like a good feeling to see it happen. My potential meter is off the charts when I saw that bit, because I
I
thought this was going
really
to be
do
great.
feel like this should have ended with the Doctor with the Solitract in the mirror world trapped, and
Yeah.
Graham, Ryan, and Yaz.
That, I mean, Nick, that's asking a lot from them. Come on. That's like
But then they like have that be the cliffhanger, and then the next episode is the New Year special.
And then that ends with the granddad moment. Nick, you're a genius. We're going to go up there and we're going to rewrite it for them.
And then calling it resolution actually makes sense. Just saying, guys, calling it resolution when there's nothing to resolve doesn't make sense. You fucking idiots.
Oh my God.
Anyway, yeah, so I really like the. I really got into it. It sounds weird calling them, but it's called
What? You
Doctor
cut
Who
out.
Poop. like in a TV screen, and it's like building up to the bit where he says granddad, and everyone lose their shit, like they're like, I found it just very funny, like, yeah. But yeah, I was expecting it to be ham-fisted, but no, it actually surprisingly felt earned, which is nice. Like it was the build-up of, I don't know, throughout the entire episode, not necessarily the series, but at least it was the build-up for the entire episode where he finally acknowledged Graham as his grandfather. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. Alright, what is your next positive?
This is a positive with a negative, but I'll only mention the positive for now, I guess. Conceptually, I love the idea of the solo tract. I love the idea that they just want a friend. I like how it's this big looming threat at first, but it's something much more human, despite them being obviously not. I think it would have been a fucking killer series arc, but that'll be a negative. But I freaking thought it was really, really neat and one of the most interesting aspects of the series thus far. So, yeah. Solid tract.
It's interesting, though. The solid tract, right, because I've got this in my positive as well. I like the concept of it. But what's weird is that it's the same principle as the Totoka fame.
Oh, yeah, right. I didn't even think of that.
It was a story that the Gallifreyans told the Doctor and the Master. Same thing. I just found that really bizarre because I only remember this on rewatch. I'm like, yeah, hang on, isn't that the exact same thing that the Master said to the dog about the Tokla fame? Anyway, yeah. It was weird, but you know, I didn't hate it. It was just a thing. So this next part, I don't know where to put this. It's not a positive or a negative. So I put it under miscellaneous. And that's the dad's a complete arsehole for abandoning his blind daughter in exchange for spending time with his dead wife.
I hate him so... The fact that she goes with him at the end, I'm like, take her child protection services or something. That dude's a evil, evil person. Oh my god.
He doesn't deserve... Like when they said, I'm going to punch him, I'm like, why don't you? He deserves it.
The freaking speaker setup was disgusting, you bastard. All of it.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, what's your next positive?
Scavenging for positives.
I got a couple more.
I like the thing with Hannah saying that when she sees the mum and she's like, "You're not my mum." That was such a neat little writing thing. They did dwell on it a bit later, which I didn't like. But the first time she says it, I thought that was a really little. You know, I liked it. So that's I'm really digging for Grains at the moment, but I thought it adds the climax, which is another positive of mine, that you know, this is not who they think they are, and then Hannah coming in just completely dismissing her was like such a surreal moment, I guess, for everyone to see, because they're like, oh shit, it's not her mum, and Doctor's like, no shit, I've been trying to tell you that this entire fucking time, and so yeah. MVP goes to Hannah.
Yep. I'm just trying to process, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, pretty
much. Yeah. I'm going to add, I'm going to piggyback off that somewhat. One of the best moments for me was when the Doctor wrote the instructions on the roof to Ryan, and she basically lied to the blind girl about it being a map of the house with weak points.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like something that previous incarnations of the Doctor would do.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I could see Matt Smith doing that. I could definitely see Capaldi doing that.
Yeah, I could see Tennant doing that. Like
Tennant, yeah.
Being like
McCoy, most certainly.
Yes, it's something that just embodies the Doctor. Like, they care, but they aren't ignoring the fatalities of what's around them. So it's sort of like, okay. You know, we don't tell her, but, you know, it just felt like a really Doctor thing. Which is sad that we're getting it in episode 9, but, you know, what can you do?
Mm. And then it all just completely unravels because fucking Ryan has to save another house, like
Yeah,
the
he's so bad at playing it
observatory,
cool.
the porch. I'm like, come on, mate, you're a fucking idiot. You could have said
Oh,
any
God.
place but those two. And then she catches on pretty quickly that it wasn't a map because she's a dumb idiot. Because he's a dumb idiot.
He's a dumb idiot.
He's a dumb idiot. But it kind of works for his character. Kind of. What is your next positive?
My next one, probably my main one, to be honest, is just that entire climax at the end. I love the idea that it's a high concept sci-fi villain, but everything that it's about is built on characters. So it's built on obviously Eric and Anna. It's built on Grace and Graham. It's a very character focused scenario, which is what I wanted the season to be as a whole, which obviously episode 10 did not give us, but it perfectly balances with the idea of the Solar Tract. As I said before, it's like this above all the universe breaking mumbo jumbo crap. It just wants to. It's sick of being alone. It wants a friend, and it wants to learn. And I thought the climax sort of paralleled the idea of the Solar Tract's purpose, and that entire bit was just gold, Doctor Who for me. It didn't last, but that's probably my
I'm
main positive.
gonna again piggyback off that, but I'm gonna put a giant asterisk next to it. It was hilarious. It
Wait,
was
what?
it the frog. The frog on the chair.
Oh, yes, of course.
The frog on the chair was hilarious. And
This is my biggest.
it being
Yeah.
Grace's voice as well just adds to
It
it.
was really weird because I loved it, but I would not have done that if I had written the
That's what I
episode.
said. Giant
Yeah.
asterisk.
Yeah. Because it's so obnoxiously science fiction, but it's like, why? Like, it just.
It feels Douglas Adams, but the rest of the episode
Yes.
isn't Douglas Adams, so it kind of comes out of left field.
I think we all know it should have been some, but obviously Chibnall will never settle this low, but it should have been someone from the past. It should have been any companion, maybe River, somebody. But no, it's a fucking
I've got
frog.
that in my negative. I'm going to talk deep as to who it should have been and why.
I'm curious as to hear your thoughts on that one, because it's been spun this bit around. On Reddit, I see literally every single character that's been on the show has been mentioned as like anybody but the fucking frog. So I'm curious on what you think.
I like frogs.
To be fair, her voice fits it so well. It's so funny. It's like.
Brian
Anyway.
Sinclair, don't you dare.
Whoa. That's a pretty fucking on point accent, Nick.
I've listened to it way too many times to try and get that down put. All right. What's your next positive?
You're right. There's more? Okay.
Oh, I've
Reverse of
got a couple
polarity.
more.
When yes. When
Oh, this is
yes.
my negative. Oh, that's my negatives.
Only because it made me laugh. That's all.
I'm gonna say this is the negative now. Yaz saying reverse the polarity is
Made
the
no
dumbest
sense.
use of a callback to date because it makes no fucking sense.
Why does Yaz, a cop who never shows it, say that? I don't get it.
The doctor, if the doctor says it, that makes sense.
It's funny, it makes sense, but no.
Why does Yaz say it for?
Because the Yaz the Time Lord.
She's never acknowledged what?
Yeah.
This face, that was so dumb.
Yeah,
And
Yaz the Time Lord, guys.
look, just because you're gonna get a call, like just because you say a callback doesn't mean I'm gonna applaud you every time you do a callback. It has to make sense in context of the story.
Oh
Oh
boy.
god damn, that was
That's
so
basically all my positives.
dumb.
I just want to hear you rant because I know for a fact you would not like that. And I was
I
right, so.
hated that. I really did. That annoyed me so much. Like, as soon as she said it, I literally paused it, went to go get a drink, sat outside for a bit, got some food, and then I came back
I
to
bet you like just like looking into the distance, like
her.
contemplating
I put it off for about a
life.
good hour or so after.
You're like you're like your fingers are between your temple, and you're just like looking down, you're like
You know when you just see something, you just gotta get away for it for a little bit? You're like,
it takes you
I can't
away.
deal with this
It
shit
takes
right
you
now.
away. It takes you away.
It takes you away from this episode.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
I do have one more positive. It's not a positive. You know how I always mention dialogue that I like? Well, from now on, following when Doctor Who comes back on, I'm gonna pick one quote from an episode that I love the most. And today's episode was, that's not Grace. No offense, Grace. None taken, love. I love that line so much. Just like, it's like, by the way, you're not real. None taken, love. It's so British. And I watch it both times I watch it, I lost my shit.
That was a pretty good line.
George's quote of the episode.
I've got two as well. I put down two quotes that I thought were pretty good.
Ooh, do share, do share.
The first one was, "Maybe we shouldn't be in here," which
Right.
is weird when Ryan, of all people, has the most common sense out of the entire group.
Again, development. It's rare, but it
And the
happens.
other one was, "I will dream of you out there without me." Never thought such an impactful line would come from a frog.
When the frog departed, I actually nearly got emotional, but then I remember it was a frog. So I was like,
That's the
never
thing.
mind.
It's like there's no emotional core because you're looking at a frog. But
Imagine if it
yeah.
was a human, a human-looking character. Just imagine. Anyway, my positive is done, so you can carry on.
All right, well, I'm going to talk about my next positive. I don't know if I'm pretty sure you mentioned it before, but Graham getting out a sandwich was a cute gag.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, I thought you did, but I just wanted to put that down, make sure I got that out of
Paddington.
the way. Yeah, I thought the blind actress did a pretty good job with the material she was given. Like,
Oh
props to her.
yeah. Yeah, she was a pretty good actress, I think.
Like, I'm always very iffy when it comes to, well, I don't know if you really call her a child actor or not, but I thought she was good. She was on par
Yeah.
with Ryan at least. Not Graham, but at least on par with Ryan.
Yeah.
Not
Meanwhile,
Yaz,
Yaz.
not Yaz level, that's too insulting to her. But at least
Wow.
Ryan level. Yeah. Nice bait and switch of the noise in the woods just being a speaker her dad set up.
Yeah.
I liked that little bait and switch. Like they made it out to be like, oh, there's something in the house. Like so there's something in the woods that's
Oh yeah,
gonna
the
affect the
setup is
house.
definitely pretty good. I agree. Bait and switch. He's a dick. Eric sucks. Sorry, go. That
The dad's an arsehole, we already agree with
is
this.
an asshole. Go on.
And the last one. I thought the music of this episode was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Like, out of the series, this is probably up there in the top three episodes that I actually remember the music for. Which is neat. I mean, for context, it goes Kablam, Woman Who Fell to Earth, and then It Takes You Away. They're the three episodes I actually remember the music from. Every other
Nice.
episode, I really don't remember any music from
I know.
whatsoever. But yeah. All right, what is your first negative, Mr. Ringo?
The creature that is definitely not humanoid in nature in the anti zone is so annoying, and I hated him. I hated him so much. Was like flames on the side. Sorry, that's a clue reference. I hated him so much. The anti-zone stuff was okay in itself, but I just did not like it. I found it really. I like the concept of it yet again, but everything there felt unfitting. It felt out of place. I didn't like the creature. His accent made me want to shoot myself, and I was waiting for him to end. So, yeah. When the first negative is all of that, I'm like pointing to that, like shrugging it off. All of the anti-zone shit. When not to explain that, I'm like, oh, that's cool. But then when it, yeah.
I love you literally took an entire negative I had.
There you go.
I basically wrote the anti-zone was absolutely pointless to the story, and it's a shame a fair chunk of the story centered this area because I couldn't care less about what was going on. Should have used
Because
that
when she.
time to yeah, should have used that time to focus more on the parallel world.
Yeah, when she mentions what it does, I'm like, that's what it is for? I didn't get that impression at all. I thought it was just some annoying, this bullshit sci-fi for the sake. They could have done used made a segment there, but made it much more interesting, like an actual Because she said it's what? It's to not bring the two universes together. I thought they could have actually made that work in the area without it being just some really obnoxiously unfitting place with this guy I just wanted to die already. God! I forgot what his name was, so I don't care. His accent may want
to... Wasn't it like anyway. Ribbon? It was like Ribbon or something like that.
Yeah,
Ribbon of the something, anyway. Something, something. I don't care.
Again, concept was cool, but execution was just god-awful.
Yeah, the idea of separating two universes...
And it just could have been so much cool idea. It could have been so different. Oh,
but that's a recurring thing. It's a cool idea on paper. In execution, well...
It's trash.
Well, we already know the results of that. All right.
My next negative?
My next negative basically piggybacks off a negative I talked about earlier. What was the point of Yas in this episode? She does nothing. Again.
I'm sick of them wasting her. She's such a...
Like, where was Yaz's incentive to stay in the parallel world? Where was the Doctor's incentive to stay in the parallel world?
That's a thing which we're going to get to. But yeah, I understand why you don't want to overdo it or crowd it up. But there still should have been some emotional weight for at least Yaz. Because she still feels like she's just there.
See, even then. To me, this entire series has all been about family.
Yeah.
If I was to think about it, because we've had the Graham-Ryan dynamic the entire way through, and then we've also had Yaz and her family. But they do nothing with it!
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I hate themes.
Oh, because I briefly started doing the script for episode 10, like the rewrite, and I'll probably mention some of the stuff I would have added or changed. The family part was going to be an interesting element to it, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, my point is Yaz does nothing. Yaz is pointless in this episode. And I really feel bad for Mandip at this point because she deserves better.
Sure. That's my opinion on the episode.
Yeah. All right. What's your next negative?
Oh, boy. Again, so my positive was the soul track was cool. My negative was the Doctor info dumping it on Yaz was such a poorly done scene. This is why I want it to be a series arc thing, because it's such a cool thing you can explore. But when they just dump it all out as a bedtime story in 5 minutes, I understood it more on a rewatch, fine. Still not good. I thought it was messy, it was muddled, it felt just like, it was, obviously I love the concept, but just, I think the execution was very poor, and that entire bit was just really, really messy. So yeah, did not like that.
But that's a very big problem with most of this series. It's show, don't tell.
Could you imagine like a Time Lord graphical like backstory thing? Like even if it's like a visual telling, it'd still be much cooler than the Doctor just being like, Like I would have much rather just like a classic, like Disney backstory. A long time ago, there was a thing called the Soul Tract, and like we could have seen Granny Five telling like I'm just trying to make it interesting here.
I personally wouldn't explain all of that. Obviously, I think there's an element of mystery. I think there's also an element of mystery to the Soul Tract itself.
Yeah, that's why you put bits and bobs in every episode of the season and do a.
Series arc. But yeah, Soul Tract should, without a question,
be that. It's too conceptually fascinating to do one episode, and it bugs me to bloody... Anyway.
But it also ruins any chance of trying to go back and do something similar, because it's already been done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I feel like it links so well with the element of family and something that felt like... Just potential, Nick!
Potential, yeah. A recurring thing in this series.
Oh. Screw family. The main theme of this series is potential being wasted. Good night.
Okay, so my next negative.
Yes.
A cottage in Norway in winter with a chimney but no smoke is not a weird thing, Doctor. Maybe it's just not currently occupied. And they just casually break in and enter, disarming not one lock, not two locks, but
But three
three
locks.
locks.
It felt so contrived. It didn't feel like it was na it just
It's like, oh, we need to get them into this situation. How do we do it? Oh, this perfectly normal scenario the doctor will just find coincidentally weird, which just happens to be true. I don't know. They could have set this up so much better, but they just go through the for the dumb option and expecting us to not care. Problem is, I do care, and I will point out I will point out bullshit when it happens. But that is one of the worst ways to start an episode off. And we literally
No.
had an episode last week where it came from a fade to black. A fade from black, sorry. If you want to check Will's rant about an episode fading from black, I do check out the previous episode. It was a hell of a lot of fun to listen to. But yeah, look, I just, it's it was just a dumb setup to do this episode from. It just just breathe in and breathe out. You are almost through this series. I'm so glad I never have to watch this series ever again. Just so glad, super glad. What is your next negative, if you have any left?
Okay, my next negative, if I have any left, is as per usual, some of the writing can be very clunky. My least favorite part of this was when they ask Anna what's going on, and she's like, "The thing." And the music swells up, and it's like, "Fuck off." No, not the thing. Give, like, that just, it just felt so. I understand, like, she's a kid, whatever, but it's just an example of just some really clunky, uninspired writing, and yeah, writing. But that's an example that I hated.
Sorry, I'm just currently still watching the finale episode to make notes.
Yeah, fair
Man, I'm
enough.
so bored of this. I'm so bored of this episode.
Hey, thing,
I'm so bored.
I wasn't doing a podcast while watching it. I was actually watching it. So, like,
Yeah,
ugh.
I'm just constantly skipping because I'm like, oh, this bit, oh, this bit, oh, this bit, oh, this bit, which we'll get to very, very shortly. But anyway, yeah. So my, how many more niggas do you have, by the way?
Let's have a look. I color code them because it helps me. One, but it's about the thing you're talking about. So.
Well, I'm going to do. I will talk about the next negative and a half because I've got two. So I'll just talk about
Yep,
this one.
go for it.
So this is not really a negative, but I find it a shame that Ryan didn't manage to get into the portal because he had no involvement in witnessing his grandma.
Right, I
And
know,
I
I
think
know.
that would have been interesting because it probably would have caused him quite a fair amount of stress.
I would have given them some bonding, you know? Like, it
Yeah,
would have
like they both had to
brought them back
witness
to their. Yeah, exactly.
saying goodbye to Grace themselves. But that said, I understand why they did it because
Yeah.
it caused the grand dilemma and ergo resolution of the story. It was
Yeah.
just, I don't know. I think it would have been interesting for them both to have accepted the situation, and I think
I did love that it was Ryan that got him to go, okay, you're fake, bye bitch. Like it was sort of
yeah, as I
it was
said,
like
I like
yeah.
how they resolved it.
Yeah.
But I think there was still...
You still reckon Ryan should have been...
Yeah, and then the whole granddad thing could have been more of an accepting thing, because they both went through the same trauma.
Yeah.
Like
actually, yeah.
Most of the grief you've seen through the series is through Graham's eyes, but Ryan's still obviously having to deal with grieving it, and I think it would have been interesting to have them both acknowledge their grief, brought it to the forefront, accepting it, and then him being like, I'm sorry, granddad, and then that's how they bond, you know what I mean? Like, I do feel like the ending was earned, but I still feel like if they were both there and they both made the choice to leave Grace behind, it would have been a great bonding moment that would have made the ending even more emotional. But yeah, I understand why they did it. I just don't necessarily. I still think there was potential to be bolder with the more emotional moments that this episode was trying to go for. Which, to be fair, I think it succeeded for the most part. It's just, I feel like you could have done more. And that they just chose to for the sake of a satisfying resolution. Like, don't get me wrong, I think this episode was a very satisfying resolution, as I said, but just, I don't know. I reckon if I had time and cared enough, I could have rewritten this episode and made a much more satisfying conclusion, but
I've been optimist for Doctor Who Series 11 for the past 9 episodes. And let me tell you, it's been hard. I've been with Nick and Will, who have been really not kind about the episode, the series, and honestly, I don't blame them. Stuff shit. But I have gotten through, I have soldered on, and on my rewatch of episode 10 of Doctor Who, the Battle of whatever the fuck, I officially gave up. And here is why. Okay, the reason why I hate this episode so much, apart from it being boring, average, missing every single mark, is this, right? Conceptually, there are so many poor choices in this episode, but the actual choice of execution, somehow there's more. Usually, when an episode's conceptually bad, the execution's pretty good, because, like, and in those cases, it's like, you know what? Poor idea, but at least they made it look cool. They not even make it look cool, okay? Firstly, fucking Tim Shaw, okay? Tim Shaw, conceptually, is an interesting choice, okay? He's a random, right? That the Doctor sent back. He's a completely nobody. And look, even if I prefer the freaking last episode being the series arc, this would still be cool. But of course, they fuck it up. Because... okay. When we hear his voice, and Doctor goes, oh my god, it's his voice. And then Graham, Ryan, and Yaz go, oh my god, it's his voice. This does nothing to the audience. My brother turned to me and said, who the fuck is that? And I'm like, Gabriel, I just don't know. In series four, in the finale, when you hear the Daleks, you can see everybody, you can see everybody's face. And it's like the most horrific experience I've ever had watching the show, right? Because they're all like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And I felt it. I remember the feeling when I watched it the first time. I'm like, there's no fucking way. But with this episode, Tim Shaw is in one episode. The first episode. And never mentioned once again. So this is intended to be like, holy shit, guys. And it does nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay. Where do I even go next? I hated the way that... It just felt so average. It just... I don't like the whole Earth thing where it was like, oh no, the Earth's failing. If you want to show the Earth failing, show people on Earth! For fuck's sake! It's so frustrating how they make it so severe, they make it so end-of-the-worldish. It's fine, every season's done it, but it feels so rudimentary, it feels so average. There should be this threat, there should be this severity. it's not even potential, because there was a lack of potential in this episode in the first place. Sorry, there's a lack of opportunity for potential in the first place. But even then, it just falls flat on its face. I have two positives for this episode. Two! And they are not even big. Actually, one of them's like somewhat big, but they are not even big. My negative on this page is titled literally everything else. That's it. I do not. I think Jody is fine. I think Yaz is non-existent. I thought the Ux. Oh, the Ux. Nick, can I mention the Ux for a second? Because this bothered me. This bothered me greatly.
Mm-hmm.
The solo tract were better. The solo tract were cooler. The solo tract was... The Ux to me just felt like this really pretentious... I hate that word, by the way. If you know how much I hate that word, you know how much it hurts me saying it. The Ux felt pretentious. It felt undeveloped. It felt like what's it called? Like this surface level god. This surface level like OP alien threat. And by the way,
Ux, hang on. The Ux were like earthbenders.
Yeah, exactly. The freaking. By the way, speaking of, right? You know how we're sick of the intro being at the start, right?
Yep.
That was the most cold open since. This that was the most cold open we've got. And the fact that it happened after the intro made me scream because I'm sick of it now. The Ux.
I told you, the pre-title sequence is there. All the episodes.
Do you know what also sucked? The bit that just followed that. The 3,000 whatever years later. And then we open it. The first line of dialogue is literally about the planets. There's not a second for room. I love jumping straight into the action, but there's not a second to breathe for this episode. They literally just go straight into it. And that would be cool if there was the intro, but it just felt so unnatural. It just felt like they were getting ahead of themselves, and I could literally see Chibnall falling on his face as this episode progressed. The Ux felt really uninteresting. They, as you said, they're freaking earthbenders that have no real sense of... Do you remember the freaking bit when the guy walks into the TARDIS and he goes, transcendental dimension, whatever he said. Do you remember what he said? I don't know if I was that.
Yeah, it was a reference to the Fourth Doctor, transcendental dimensional engineering or something like
that. Okay, I'm sure that reference was a neat one for what the classic series did with it, but when he said it, I want to rip my eyes out.
It was the whole reverse the polarity all over again.
Except that one didn't make sense. This one was just cringe. So I found the Ux uninteresting. The Amnesiac was cool. It could have been better, obviously. Everything could have been better. Art idea of, like, them exploring. I think with Tim Shaw and the Amnesiac, I like how then the world starts with the most normal things. But when you bring the Ux into it, it just sort of trips and falls. And then, obviously, everything sort of developed. It just felt like a colossal mess. And when it ended, I actually cheered. Because that was the last time I would ever watch that episode, or most of the episodes of the season. So in conclusion, villain, shit. Ux, shit. Opening, shit. use of the Earths, the killing the Earth to then show no humans at all because fuck emotion, shit. So yeah, I have two positives. I can mention that later if you want me to. Otherwise, this episode was a colossal and abysmal mess, and I would have rather last episode be it and us have one episode less. Thank you, good night. That's my rant.
Isn't it incredible that you prefer an episode less when we already have two less episodes?
that's how I wanted to end, by letting you know how much I did not like it. I have been on the defending end of this season for so long. I posted on Reddit about... Because I knew, by that point, I knew that episode 10 would not succeed. Because we've had so much...
I lost hope after episode 5. I'm like...
yeah.
The rest we'll guys will be fine, but don't expect anything out of episode 10. Just don't.
I'm just really annoyed. Do we know my positives, or just...
Yeah, let's do positives, and then I'll talk about my negatives, which are very similar to yours, but more succinct. And I'll talk about stuff I would have changed, because...
Obviously, yeah. You've done your own thing. I'm just exhausted.
But I enjoyed that rant. I mean, I butted a little bit. Sorry about that, but like...
No, it's okay.
Because
But
It's
like
okay.
I enjoyed that because I don't know. I feel like you're on our level of frustration. Like
It just, I can't even compose sentences. I'm just so mad.
I feel like you were in denial for
Of course, I was in
the
denial.
longest time. For the longest time, I
Optimists
think.
are always in denial about things that are never going to happen. But like that's the fun of it, you
And now you're in
know?
acceptance. You have accepted.
The 5 stages of Series 11 grief.
Yeah, exactly. Series 11, aka grief.
Oh, Jesus.
But yeah, let's talk about positives. I have four positives,
Wow. That's a lot of positives, Nick. What the fuck?
but none of them are actually substantial to the plot. They're just, well, one of them is, but yeah, and one's technically a half. We'll go 2.5.
I have 1.5 positives.
All right, you go with your first positive.
Ryan and Graham. Everything they did, everything they were, the one reason why I
No,
don't mind
well,
this being the last episode is because following the granddad bit, we get to see them closer than ever before. And the ending of their little bit with Tim Shaw was such a kick-ass moment. And it does not save the episode at all, but it makes an intolerable mess at least somewhat interesting to watch. So yeah, that's my main negative. That's my one out of my 1.5 is that put there. What about
I'm
you?
gonna put a giant asterisk to what you just said, like
Here
a
we go.
giant asterisk. Anyway, but
Oh, I know
I'll
why. I know why. I know why. I know why.
yeah, you do.
But those two, look at those two only. Ignore
Anyway,
thing that
yeah.
happened.
So look, I like Graham's arc of originally avenging Grace's death, but then deciding to be the better man. I liked it. It made sense, and it was the acceptance that no matter what he does, he won't ever get Grace back again. I liked that. It's probably the only main story bit that I actually did like.
Good.
Yeah. Do you want me to go next, or do you like? Because I was
I
gonna
mean,
just pick
I
up
have a
from
half,
yours.
so feel free to.
Okay. So this is not really it. I liked the barren wasteland look of the planet.
Okay.
Just from a set kind of point of view, like. The interior stuff was pretty shit, but when they were walking around like the exterior stuff, I didn't mind that. Yeah. I told you it really wasn't much. This is really not much.
My final half, I say half,
Yeah.
the doctor's speech at the end is
That was
a
one of my
positive.
points,
That
not
got
my
cut
points.
off. That was too short. Negative.
Yeah.
Hence
She's
why
like,
it's a 1.5.
yeah,
That
she
was.
nearly reaches that point. But
It's.
it just falls short.
It was such a. It could have. Obviously, it's a shit episode, but we could have ended well. We could have ended with a slam dunk, encapsulating the themes of family and finding yourself and finding people and finding friends, all that shit. She could have had that moment, but of course, it gets ruined. It feels too
Yes.
short. It feels just on the cusp of being great, and
See,
that's why it's a half.
if I was to rewrite it, and I'll talk about this shortly, I would have put it a little bit earlier than the very end. I feel like there's a great moment that could have happened that they chose not to do.
Interesting. I'm
But
excited for your
yeah.
thoughts on that.
Trust me, I reckon you're gonna like the
I
rewrites that
probably
I
will, dude. I mean, it can't be worse. It can't be worse than this. Let's be real.
Yeah. So my final positive, because you took one
Yes.
positive. Graham says yippee-ki-yay. And considering the whole Die Hard talk that we had earlier in this episode, yeah, it feels fitting, you know? Like we had the whole Tarantino thing beforehand, but like, and now we have Die Hard. And can I just say, he has excellent movie taste. So good job, Graham. You continue to be the one shining star out of this series. And that's all my positives. Fuck this episode. This episode is not bad, but it is painfully average, and it tries. Yeah, it's not Serang Conundrum incompetent. It's not. It's yeah. It's no. I wouldn't. I would rather watch this over Serang Conundrum. See, the thing with Saranga is that it's boring and it's bad. Like Arachnids in the UK is entertaining but bad. This is on the boring but bad spectrum, but there are still moments like the Graham thing where at least that was more interesting than anything in the Saranga Conundrum. Fucking anything. All right, well, you've done your rant.
Nick,
So,
take it from here.
I'm basically going to incorporate my negatives with things I would have changed because I cannot be asked to do an entire rewrite. So, my first negative, despite the fact the episode is called The Battle of Ranskorav Kolos, we never see the battle.
That was on my sheet. Yes, that's so annoying.
Just the aftermath.
Oh.
Aftermath. Aftermath. Why? See, if I was to do it, the beginning part would have been the battle between, not Tim Shaw, but the Stenza and the Ox. Like, a genuine war. Kind of, not, like, try, like, to do what they were trying to do with the Time War, but obviously on a much smaller scale. I think kind of like, almost like a Helm's Deep kind of thing. But, like, use the earthbending powers, like, to try and, like, push the Stenza back, because the Stenza are quite big, you know, they can kind of, like, charge through. They touch them, they basically freeze to death. You know what I mean? They have this constant back and forth where, like, they one-up each other. And then at the very end, the only people that survive are Tim Shaw and the Tuux, right? They surrender to Tim Shaw in order to survive, in order to ensure the survival of their race. And it also kind of works with the whole belief thing that they were trying to go for, but really didn't go for. Maybe even something like where Tim Shaw's like, kneel before me, I am your god now. And that could be almost like your cold open.
Uh-huh.
But like in the process of doing so, the female Ox telepathically sends a distress signal. Because the distress signals, the 9 distress signals in this episode were pointless. Because I didn't understand where the 9 distress signals came from. Like, surely it wouldn't matter because they all came from the one planet. Like does the nine has no significance, correct?
Nah, yeah, pretty much.
So, I don't know. I just like the idea, since they are telepathic in the way that they use things, and we know they're telepathic because of the ending, so we can have the telepathic distress signal reach, oh, guess what else is telepathic? I don't know. The telepathic circuit in the TARDIS. So that would be where it would go to. So they are currently, so the Doctor and the companions, I'm sick calling them friends. The TARDIS, the Doctor and the companions are in flight, and the distress signal is picked up by the telepathic circuit in the TARDIS. As a result, the TARDIS manually overrides the system and sends them to the planet. But it's done through numerous time tracks, meaning they don't arrive until 200 years after the message has been sent. Do you follow me so far?
I'm following you and I'm loving you right now.
Yeah.
Continue.
So the thing is, that's a nice callback to The Empty Child, you know, when they went the time track to reach the thing. Anyway, and it also makes the time difference justifiable because the time difference in this episode makes no fucking sense because they are in a time machine and time is not of important relevance to them. The fact that it was 3,407 years after should mean nothing to the TARDIS. Because it's the TARDIS.
Oh, Nick.
Okay, so they arrive on the planet and like the Doctor realizes where they are and they grab neural blockers. I like the idea of them and that she hands it to the companions. There's specifically 4. One for her and one for each companion. Uh-huh. And the point is they are coded to the DNA of the person. So once they are put on there, they cannot be used ever again. That gets rid of that shitty Deus Ex Machina finale where they just take their neural blockers off and give them to the thing. You know, get rid of that because that's dumb and there are way more interesting things you could have done there. So neural blockers connected to the DNA, there's no point taking them off because they're literally coded to your DNA and nothing else, right?
Yeah.
Other things that I would have included. So basically my point was with the neuroblockers was what's the point of having the neuroblockers if the planet doesn't make you turn evil, but instead just give you a headache.
Oh, the biggest threat known to man. Headaches.
Headaches. So I'm gonna skip a few bits because basically what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna get rid of the soldier because he really added nothing to this episode. Like you could take that episode out. I'm sure you could just mix some things around. Everything would stay the same, right? Make the Tim Shaw reveal kind of cooler, you know? We have the Ux being forcefully at the will of Tim Shaw. Tim Shaw acts as their god, but because it's been 200 years, it's kind of like Stockholm Syndrome. You know, they just kind of accept it that he's their god. They don't believe that he's their god, but enough time has passed that they're just like, okay, we accept you as our god, basically. So later on in the episode, right? So we have that whole Graham realizes that Tim Shaw's here, right? So Graham walks towards the throne room. So he's not dying, Tim Shaw. He's just got such an ego and he controls the planet that he's in this little throne room that's resistant to earthquakes. And I'll explain why he's resistant to earthquakes later in this later on. But Graham walks towards that room and uses the comms that they have because the comms in this episode are fucking pointless because they are never used except for when Tim Shaw wants to butt in and make some shitty remark. So how about actually use the comms to make something interesting? So Graham uses the comms to tell Ryan this like poignant speech about how great it was to be his grandfather and how much he meant to him. But he feels guilt because they let Tim Shaw go and he's killed like millions of people since then. You know what I mean? Like that toll includes also the death of Grace. You know what I mean? So the doctor is trying to talk him out of doing so because they can hear through the comms. Jesus Christ, who would have thought? But Ryan rushes to go and intercept him. You know, try to stop him before he reaches the throne room, which could inevitably kill him. Ryan realizes he's on the wrong level, and the only way to catch up to Graham is by using a ladder that leads to the cryogenic chamber room. So, despite his dyspraxia, Ryan slowly but surely climbs up the ladder, determined to reach Graham before he reaches the throne room. So, at least we brought the dyspraxia back, you know, with the whole ladder thing that was briefly mentioned in the Ghost Monument, but never again. So, anyway, he reaches the top and stands in the middle of the room facing Graham, who obviously is determined to finish him off. They have a battle, like a little bit of a standoff. He's like, "Get out of my way, Ryan." It's like, "This is insane. You're gonna murder an unarmed being in cold blood." And he's like, "For what he did to Grace and every other creature whose lives are ruined by the doctor's decision to let him go, absolutely." Ryan takes off his comms as well, and he's like, "I won't let you do this. There's always another way." So we have the two at a standoff. We have Tim Shaw in his room, unaware of everything that's going on because he has the reason to. Then you have the earth, you have the planet start to shake like an earthquake. The doctor and Yaz rush over to see what's going on. Obviously, I'm missing some details here, but it's basically the same gist as to the reasons as to why Timmy Short did what he did. But yeah, they go to rush for the source of the earthquake, and it's the Ux. That they've basically that is used to make sure that the Earth is destroyed, right? So obviously we have that whole scene where the two are powered up, but then Yaz gets a phone call, and the phone call is from her family, who are witnessing this thing. And by the way, it's not going to be pink; it's going to be complete darkness, right? So it's just gonna be this black shield that encompasses the Earth before it kills them all. And she gets the phone call, and it's from her mum, and she's freaking out, the mum. And then she get then the mum passes it on to the sister, who's like, "Give me here, I'll talk," and she explains the situation. Because the problem I had with the episode is that they didn't explain how they knew that. Well, they did was through dialogue, but I think showing it would be much more interesting.
Yeah.
But have the sister be like, I hope you're safe. I wish you were here with us right now. We're really scared. Something like that. Now there's personal investment for Yaz to be involved in the story. Because she's fucking pointless in this episode. So she gets a gun that she stole from earlier in the episode and threatens to shoot, and is basically moments away from shooting one of the Uks, because by shooting the Uks, it breaks the link, it saves the Earth. Obviously, the Doctor has gripes about it, but she's trying to calm down Yaz, who at this point is just, she's really tempted to shoot it. But then the Doctor basically calms Yaz down, gets the gun, and shoots the Ux itself, the woman Ux, who's the one controlling it. So therefore, the Earth has been saved. The Doctor has that whole no guns thing make a little bit more sense, because she's had to use it in the dire situations. And now you have one of the Ux dead. Cut to Ryan and Graham, who are in a very similar situation. They're still at their standoff. I know, it's very convoluted, but I trust you, I'm getting somewhere with this. So they're in that cryogenic chamber, which is just before the throne room.
Yep.
So they're at that standoff, and basically Ryan does a similar thing to what the Doctor does, and eventually calms Graham down, and eventually gets the gun off Graham. But he notices a panel at the very back of the room. It's like a big red button. You know that, like that big red button that must never ever be pressed? You
yes,
follow me
yes,
there?
It is.
Well, basically, Ryan gets the gun and perfectly shoots at the button.
Mm-hmm.
The button, like that, first of all, that brings back the whole Call of Duty thing from earlier where he has a perfect shot. Like, he could do it from literally from one side of the room to the other.
Yep.
But by doing so, it basically ejects all of the people that were cryogenically frozen out of their chamber. So now you have the people that are disorientated, but they have a revenge against Tim Shaw. Ryan gives one of the cryogenically frozen people the gun and be like, have at them, basically.
Yeah.
Do what you want. And we don't ever see how the ending is resolved of Tim Shaw. We don't know. We don't care. If he dies, so be it. If he lives, they can bring him back. But the point is, that's the arc resolved. Graham still doesn't shoot Tim Shaw, and Ryan actually has, you know, some more investment in the story. And they rush off to go find the Doctor and Yaz.
Yeah.
So cut back to the Doctor and Yaz. Basically now the male Ux is now awake, realizes what has happened, gets the gun that the Doctor used and shot because she put it down, and threatens to kill both of them because he basically resulted in him being the last of his kind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee, where have I heard that before? So the Doctor can use her experience as being the last of her kind to try and talk sense. And this would be where the defining speech happens. Be like, I was once the last of my kind, but I decided to use that pain, that anger, and I used it to make something good out of it. I used it to help people. And right now, I need your help. Because at this point, the planets have cracked, much like this in the story.
Yep.
And it's like, I realized that you have a telepathic link, much like the TARDIS does. So now we have an actual callback to the beginning of the episode, where they have the link between the TARDIS and the Ux. and the doctor's like, I need your help. Help me put these planets back, and I'll take you anywhere you want in time and space. Join us, and we'll travel the universe together. And he says, I believe you, Doctor. That brings the whole faith thing back.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that by doing so, he does it, but it eventually kills him. So now we have the remorse of the Doctor basically committing genocide towards an entire species, and the guilt of doing so. We have Yaz emotionally distraught, basically witnessing the same thing. But they choose not to tell Ryan and Graham about what happened.
Right.
They hide, they dispose of the bodies somewhere. I don't really think it matters where. And then the two meet up, and that is how you end the series.
I like it.
The idea is that now that we have a conflict, you have this
secret.
You have this, yeah. You have this thing that can be brought up later on, maybe when the Doctor faces the Daleks or Cybermen or whatever. It doesn't matter. But the point is, there's got to be a moment. There's got to be some sort of tension between the group because it's too happy.
And also, you finally given Yaz something, like she now has this secret as well, and she now has this sort of, we now look at her and think, okay, how is she going to hide this from them, or how is she going to go on with what she's seen? So you've actually given her a you've given her
I've given her something to do, basically.
Pretty much. You've given her like an avenue for her to develop in which case it's this secret.
Yeah. But yeah, the point is, a lot of the problems I have are just little things. Like, I'm not saying my thing is perfect, but I do feel like it was an improvement on a lot of things. Like the whole thing about, oh, guns are bad, but bombs are okay. You know what I mean? Stuff like the return of the sniper bots, which added nothing except for a 5-second cameo where they shot at each other and they died. The arcs are about to kill the Earth, and yet there's no tension whatsoever, like you mentioned beforehand. So I thought, as you said, having an Earth thing and like literally the main Earth focus we have is Yaz's family. So bringing them into it adds emotional stakes there. It makes Tim Shaw not go out like a little bitch.
What a
like
weird,
he got shot in the foot and then put in the cryogenic chamber.
What a weird like short. My brother's like, he's coming back, right? I'm like, yeah, of course he is. I'm like, nope, that's how they got rid of him. That's the series final, everybody. I was just so confused and annoyed. Honestly, it was kind of funny, but like, oh well. It was annoying.
And like, the granddad thing from, like compared to the granddad thing from It Takes You Away, this fist bump was not earned. It was not earned in the slightest. It came out of nowhere. And also it at least brought more context to the whole TARDIS using the teleportation of the planets, like to like taking them to the original positions. You know what I mean? Like instead of it just being an out of nowhere Deus Ex Machina, it actually has, you know, a setup with the original distress signal in the first place. So, but as I said, my rewrite's not perfect. I literally just thought of it as I was watching the episode. I reckon if I had more time, I could probably refine it and make it actually a pretty good one. But look, my biggest problem with this episode is that there is potential to do things and they just choose not to. And it pisses me off because it's just such a common thing with this series. And I don't get why. Like, are they scared that they're going to have something, like long-lasting for children and adults to think about?
Yeah.
Like I don't understand why it's all just so surface level. It's just, I don't know. I rewatched Dark Water, and I do genuinely believe that is one of the most interesting episodes of the entire series.
Yeah.
People hate it It scared children, but I like this idea of, as scary as it is, I like the idea that there could be, that they could still be conscious after death. Obviously, it's not true because of what happens later on, but I like the idea. I love the setup of it. The idea that they choose to keep the body as vessels because they scare the people into not cremating their loved ones. Like, that's incredible. That is such an awesome idea. I want something like that in my Series 11. And it's just not there. It drives me insane because I don't know where Series 12 goes from here. It could be like, this is supposed to be Chibnall's best foot forward. And if this is his best foot forward, I would hate to know what his worst foot forward is. I dread that.
Hopefully, him being. I mean, I know he's not wanting to do it anymore. He's being forced to, I guess. But I hope a shorter season next. A shorter season 12 will hopefully, I don't know, make everything more succinct and I
I
guess.
don't even think that the length of the series is the problem.
No. I'm not saying that's the problem. I'm saying hopefully that will push him to deliver better episodes for his.
Well, that was the whole point of
Well,
making
that
it
didn't
10
work, Nick.
episodes. That's the thing. That was the whole point of making it 10 episodes, was that it was supposed to be more concise, less filler, you know, everything had impact. But we have shit like arachnids in the UK. The Sarang Conundrum. Fucking this one. But like, I still think that like series 4 and series 5 are without a doubt, actually, and also series 9, but they are like the best series, and they are all 13 episodes. I think series 9 is 12. But my point still stands. The length doesn't matter. It's what you do with the length that matters. And
Don't know. Just
it
again, I'm being
just
optimist. I
shits
can't
me.
help it. It's it,
It
it there's
just
still something
shits
there.
me. There is potential to be good. I just don't see it from Chibnall, though. I don't know how he did Broadchurch. I honest to God, after watching this series, I don't know how he did Broadchurch series 1 so great. I honestly feel like it was a fluke. Because there is nothing in his writing that makes me interested in what he does.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Well, final thoughts for this episode. I never want to watch this episode ever again.
I'm not going to, easily.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to watch any of the series, even Kablam,
There's only
which
two
I still
episodes that I
think
can
is the
watch:
best of this
Kablam
series.
or Arachnids while being heavily intoxicated. That's it. Because that episode is
Where you know
fun,
me from?
but
Where
it's
you know me
trash.
from? Where you know me from? Where you know me
Ryan's
from?
best moment in the series. I think we can wrap this up now. I feel defeated. I feel like I had a long-standing battle with this season and I lost. And it's not my fault that I lost because the series
There
is
was
shit.
no winning with this season, to be
But I feel
fair.
like I've just been
You
defeated.
it was like a boxing ring, like boxing
Exactly.
match, right?
I
And you're
took.
versing my and it's you versus Muhammad Ali, right? You are obviously not going to win the battle, but you are with just trying to try last as many rounds as possible, and you lasted about 12 rounds and then got it. But that was still way more than both Will and myself. So,
Yeah.
look, I gotta give you credit for at least still being the
Sticking by
optimist. Yeah. Look, I hope for your sake at least, Series 12 is better.
I that's the thing. My optimism hasn't is died for this season, but for next season. Oh,
Well,
I hope. I hope.
We have to talk about the other elephant in the room. Something we found out on the day of the finale. Doctor Who will be back in 2020. The initial rumor that we spoke about two episodes ago has now been confirmed.
You see, Chibnall's taking some time to do a writing course. I can't tell if
he had 2 years. He had 2 years to write series 11. Now he's got another 2 years to write series 12. Look, I don't. Does he need like 5 years? Does he need 10 years? Like how much time does he need to have before we can get a good season? Like I want to compare. I know this is unfair to compare it, but I want to compare it to Russell T Davies, who at one point wrote the specials for Doctor Who. He wrote Torchwood, Children of Earth. He wrote the Sarah Jane Adventures, all in 1 year.
The man is a gift. We know this. Anyone who made
in 1 year, in 1 year, he wrote the series 4 specials, which included The Waters of Mars, which was one of my favorite episodes of all time. He wrote Children of Earth, which is one of the best series of television of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the Sarah Jane Adventures. Now, granted, I don't know much about Sarah Jane Adventures, but I know they were pretty good, at least for the target audience. They were pretty good. They were certainly better than Series 11, in my opinion.
That's a new comparison. It was certainly better than Series 11.
But, like, Chibnall, by comparison, had 2 years to write Series 11. And this is what we got.
I know.
It comes across as insulting. And then they had, like, the nerve to be like, oh, we need more time to make it like an event series like Game of Thrones. But Game of Thrones has like $1 million budget and has like the best writers on to do so. That is not Doctor Who. That has never been Doctor Who. And that will never be Doctor Who. I just look, you may like Series 11 and that's fine. More power to you. I'm really glad you did. But I'm done with the series. I'm so done.
And on that note,
I'm so done.
And on that note, on Nick surrendering for the 50th time in the past, whatever.
Yep.
Let's wrap this up because
let's wrap this up.
And upwards. Next episode is going to be so much fun. We're going to do some movie stuff, some reviews, some year in review stuff. It's going to be great. Let's leave this flaming pile of this flaming pile of trash behind us and look forward to the world of movies and
Episode is going to be a hell lot more interesting
and fun and definitely more fun.
I hope resolution is good.
This was self-torture, but we had to do it.
Yeah. We were actively, before we started, like, I don't want to do this.
I don't want to talk about these. Even if the second half of episode 9 I liked, I'd rather just, like, never mention it. And if I had to. But we did it. We got through. Nick, is there anything else that you want to mention before we
Look forward to our next episode.
It's going to be so much fun.
More than likely happier than what we are currently.
There'll be some screams from me, as always, with the end of year.
Yep.
Looking back at your 2017 predictions. But 2018 predictions. But 2019 is when we'll be looking at our most anticipated flicks. And hopefully I will not pick a bad one to shove in Nick's face. Because he's picked some doozies. Okay.
Have I picked my doozies or have I changed one or two?
Oh, God. You sly motherfucker.
I'm watching. all right. Ringo, where can people find you?
You can find me at Twitter on GCAP42 for all my tweets that I tweet. Otherwise, I am on the site that is Letterboxd, where all my movie watching stuff at GCAP. So,
congrats on 300 followers, wasn't it?
300? 900, bitch.
900.
Damn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, the other 600 don't matter.
They don't. I'm kidding. I love you guys. They can't hear
you. Look, there's only one person you have to be congratulatory towards, and it's me being one of your followers.
So, Nick, I think it was a couple of months ago, I can't remember, Nick would comment on my reviews saying,
Chicken Run. Chicken Run wouldn't do this. Chicken.
And so I watched it.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And now he's sort of being a cock about it. Cock, get it? He's like, oh, look what I did. I made, look what, if you listen to me. And yeah, I love that. It was so much fun.
Hang on, to be fair, have I ever steered you wrong today?
You probably have. I can't remember.
Well, if I have, you certainly don't remember it.
There's no which grudges.
Exactly. All right, and you can find me on Twitter at NQuest63. You can find me on YouTube, nickname. You can find Bigger on the Inside on Facebook at Bigger on the Inside. At Bigger on the Inside AU. You can find us on Twitter at BOTIAU. You can listen to us on pretty much every single platform, podcasty platform.
That's the way.
If you have 2 hours to kill, much like today, you let other people know. I know we are the creme de la creme of Doctor Who podcasts. Let's be honest.
I think so. Next year, obviously, we got No Who, but I reckon as far as what we plan on for doing for next year.
Well, do you want to reveal that now, or do you want to reveal that?
Up to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just want to say, not reveal it, but I want to say, I'm out of high school officially, and I'm ready to sort of put more of my time onto the podcast to sort of maybe revamp some things. Sort of, for starters, I'm getting a computer and a new microphone come Christmas time around then. So hopefully, on my end at least, because you sound fine. On my end at least, I'll be a bit more professional when it comes to 2019. But I won't say what we're doing, but I'm very excited.
It is going to be an event.
It's going to be so much fun.
As a year-long event.
It'll be our best... I think it'll be our best run yet. I think...
It's definitely... It's something we've thought about for a while, but we haven't really... We haven't chosen to implement it until now. And it is a bit different to what we normally do, which is all I'm going to say about
that. Yeah, let's not go into it. But yeah,
next year... All will be revealed in the next episode.
Yes.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. Listen to the next episode and you'll find out exactly what we have planned in store.
Big on the Inside is going to be bigger than ever before next year. And we can't wait to show you what we're made of.
All right.
Yeah.
But until that next exciting episode, nickname out.
Ringo out.